holy still. Heaven is silent as the mighty judge ascends the throne. The bold faces turn as into the courtroom comes the very seat of sin. He who was the saint's accuser must face the charges against him.
That's a good one, huh? All right, you can sing that again. I like that. Psalm 127. Oh, man, that was a good one. Yep. I heard him practicing that today, and I thought, I wonder what he's practicing that for. I thought he might need me to go up there and sing that. He obviously doesn't. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1. We've been addressing our Happy Home series, and let's go ahead and begin reading there. Psalm 127, its Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Amen. Well, that's good. And we've been addressing and dealing with this home and talking about a happy home. And because of time, I want to get into it because I don't want to keep us long. But just right off the bat, we said there's some elements of a happy home. There's some things we need to have in our home and that are necessary and needful. We said, number one, love. We said how foundational love is, and it's a must, it's a necessity. We said, do we have to listen? And we said, you know, the greatest part of communication is listening, and listening points out to those that we are listening to that we value them, that they're important to us, that their views, their insights, their outlooks are appreciated, they're needed, and that's important. I liked what Stephen Covey said, and he said this in a number of relationship books that he's written. He said, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. And boy, we have to be careful. So we need to train ourselves to not only listen to people, but to hear people. And then there's that element of learning. We said, you got to learn. If you want to have a happy home, you have to learn. We cannot meet the needs of others until we've learned something about them. And we need to remember successful and meaningful relationships are built on a couple of really foundational principles or characteristics. One is trust. Another is honesty. Another is openness. And learning is the key to better serving and meeting those needs in the lives of those that we love. And so this element of loving and listening and learning, those are all necessary elements if we truly want to experience a happy home. Well, what else is necessary in order to have a happy home? Well, tonight I want to address this simple thought, laugh or laughter. I believe that laughter is important when it comes to a happy home. Turn to Galatians, if you would. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And I know that in the title we use the word happy, but it's important. You say laughter and happy, they're synonymous. Well, that's all right. I guess they might be to some degree, but I do believe that biblically we can see that thought mentioned or expressed in this passage, Galatians 5, 22, 23, as we address the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible says over there in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. I want you to note the order that's given concerning the fruit of the Spirit again. He goes on to say the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. You see that? Joy is number two on the list. I don't know about you, but we know that love's a pretty important element when it comes to life in general. Not just relationships, not just even in the home, but just in life in general. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. We're going to read to the end of the book. No, I'm teasing. See, you aren't even listening to me, are you? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Everybody's always already thinking about a couples retreat. I don't know. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You talked about love, preacher. We couldn't help but think about our lovely wives and husbands. Ah, yeah, okay. We'll wait and see. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 1. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, again, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now again, we are simplifying the word charity and simply stating it as love. And we're looking how important, how essential and necessary love is in relationships, love is in life in general. And we see here in Galatians 5:22, we note that he says the fruit of the Spirit is love. Obviously number one, but look how big number one is. But wait a second, joy is listed number two. Of all other things that could be listed, following this amazing, almost immense characteristic, this quality of love, is joy. I think that's very noteworthy. How vital and how important then is the joy of the Lord in both our lives and in our homes then? That it's listed second. a close second to love. That's amazing to me. See, the world that we live in is certainly in darkness and it's full of dread and fear, but we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. As soon as we get there, you get there, you'll start to read it and you'll go, oh, I know that verse. That's good. It's a familiar verse, isn't it? It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should shew forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. If we direct our eyes and our attention to the darkness, then I can guarantee you the response will ultimately be discouragement, and we're going to be down in the dumps just like the world is. Now, that's why we're admonished to think on these things in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, when he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Hey, we've been called out of the darkness. We don't need to focus on it. We don't need to dwell on it any longer. We need to think on these things, he says. And again, our focus will ultimately determine our outlook. Whatever you're looking at will ultimately affect your outlook. It's important to remember that. If you and I wish to have a happy home, we can't allow ourselves to dwell then on the negative. You can't do that. You can't look at the darkness all day, every day, and think you're going to bring joy and happiness to your marriage, your home, or even to your life. It's not going to happen. So much of what we're exposed to today is discouragement, depression, hopelessness. That seems to be what seems to be propagated and promoted in the culture and in the media in which we live today. All negativity for the most part. We cannot permit this spirit into our homes if indeed we hope to have a happy home. You can't do it. You can't invite the world in and think you're going to have something different than the world has. Can't do it. Man, I mean to tell you, people are discouraged to no end today. I mean, it's a horrible situation. We look at our circumstance, our situations in the world, and we look at all the issues that we're facing even now in America, and we think, man, we are in a mess. We're in such a mess today. We're in such a mess today, and boy, I tell you what, if you keep your eyes on the mess, you'll be in a mess. Well, I got to stay informed, preacher. Yeah, but you don't have to keep focused on the mess. There's plenty of it out there. Listen, keep the negative media out of your life. Keep the negative media out of your life. If you're watching live stream, if it's even on, if you keep the media, the negative media, out of your life, would you? And keep it out of your family's life. Don't allow yourself to get caught up in how broken society is. And it is broken. It's obvious. You can't look at it long to not say, wow, that's really broken. And by the please, don't get caught up in the many conspiracy theories that can be found on the internet. You're out of your mind. If you think you can focus on those kind of things constantly and it's not going to affect you negatively, that it's not going to be carried with you into your relationships and into your home, you're out of your mind if you think that's the case. Say, call me crazy? Yeah, you're out of your mind. You're nuts. And if you aren't yet, you will be if you keep watching and listening to that junk. Do yourself a favor and everybody else around you that loves you. Stop listening and watching it. Does you no good. Let me ask you something. How many of those things have you fixed lately? How many you fixed? How have you impacted? You say, I think global warming's a conspiracy. Okay, So you dwell on it, you worry about it, you get yourself all up in air over it. Let me ask you, how much have you changed the course of it? By being all bent out of shape and allowing it to affect your marriage, your relationships, and your family. Well, you don't understand what's going on in our government. Yeah, so let me ask you, what are you doing to fix it? You say, well, what are you doing? I don't know, but I can do it one soul at a time. You're doing absolutely nothing by just worrying, except disobeying God's word. And you're causing your children and your family to be worry warts too. Preacher, we love you because you always tell us the truth. So we need to direct our eyes in the right direction. We will struggle to remain on topside if we're always feeding on the bottom. Don't be a bottom feeder. Please don't be a bottom feeder. If anybody knows anything about fishing, and I don't, there are those fish we do not fish for. They say, we don't fish for that. Why don't you fish for that? It's a bottom feeder. What do you mean? It eats all the garbage on the bottom. I don't want to eat that, put that in my system. No bottom feeder fish for me. Well, you know what? We're bringing bottom feeders. We're bottom feeding on all the muck and the mire of the world, and we're bringing it into our marriages and our homes, and we don't think it's going to affect us negatively. So an important point. Let's go ahead and move on. We got to move quickly. Here it is now. Let me just throw this one out, and we'll talk a little bit about it. We cannot be guilty then. And again, we're talking about happiness, right? We're talking about there needs to be some laughter in the home. Not very much laughter when we're worried that we're all, you know, that we're all going to look up at the eclipse, and it's going to melt our faces off. Or you know, between the time that aligns and the time the red herring heifers all get together, we'll all be going up to heaven, and we don't need to worry about our house payment anymore. I mean, come on, what is going on? What is going on? I mean, in the year 2000, everybody's freaking out. We got to buy generators. We got to get food. We got to have water stored up. We got to do it. And I said, don't worry about it. I preached a message a week or two before, and I said, basically, Y2K. Why you don't have to worry about Y2K? And guess what? Came midnight, you didn't have to worry. Everything was fine. Let me tell you something. I got this strange feeling that if the Lord comes back, we won't care what happens with the eclipse or with the red heifers. But what I do know is this. If he doesn't come back, we'll still be here. And we'll still be facing the mess we're in, but we'll still be facing it with Jesus in our life. So we're going to be all right. It's going to be okay. We're going to make it. You say, you don't know nothing about anything you just talked about because that's not even what it's about. I don't care. I'm just telling you because that's how crazy we are. We make stuff out of nothing. We make stuff up out of nothing. Because we in our humanness somehow find a way to worry about everything. And yet the Bible says, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, look at Nehemiah 8:10 real quick, because I just want to kind of move now to a very important point in our homes, okay? This idea that we need to laugh a little bit. We need to smile a little bit. There's got to be some levity in our home. It can't just all be so serious all the time. And look what it says in Nehemiah 8:10. It says, I know Nehemiah is not as easy to find as Mark or Matthew. It's a little tricky in there, isn't it? That's why I've got it written out. He says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry. For the joy of the Lord is your weakness. It doesn't say that, does it? It says the joy of the Lord is your strength. You say, we don't laugh much, we don't smile much, we don't have a lot of joy in our home. You don't have a strong home then. You don't have a strong home. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Where's your joy? You don't have to laugh all the time. You don't have to be cracking jokes. But there ought to be this hope. There ought to be this welling up joy in our hearts that we say, man, it's okay. Life is awesome because God's giving us life and He's given us purpose. The joy of the Lord's our strength. So if you desire a strong home, then your home must be marked by joy. You know, laughter and joy is really good for your heart and your body, they say. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Studies on laughter have shown a number of things. One, laughter relaxes the whole body. A good, hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress. It leaves our muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes after. Laughter boosts the immune system. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we're struggling with so much sickness today. We ain't got a whole lot of joy. Very little laughter in our lives. The burdens of the world have just overwhelmed us. Sad, isn't it? Even Christians today are overwhelmed by the problems that they face in the world, and yet we have a Christ that died for us, rose again, and lives inside us, giving us hope and help every day. We cannot allow ourselves to be discouraged and depressed and down in the dumps all the time. It's not even healthy. Laughter triggers a release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. They promote an overall sense of well-being and even temporary pain relief. Laughter protects the heart. It improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. Laughter burns calories. That's a good one. It's no replacement for the gym, I get it. But still, one study found that laughter for 10 to 15 minutes a day. Now, I don't know, laughing 10 to 15 minutes straight. I mean, that wear on your gut. Have you ever done that where you had belly laugh for like even about 4 or 5 minutes and you're like, ugh, you know, you're trying to laugh. You know how it is? It's so tight. You get it. That's rough. I've had some of those. When you look in the mirror at this every day, you get them. So nonetheless, again, the study found, and I don't know who they found to do that, but anyway, they found that laughing 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn up about 40 calories, which could be enough to lose 3 or 4 pounds over the course of a year. Can you imagine? Oh, excuse me, I'm going to go work out. I got a laughter workout today. You know, I lost 3 or 4 pounds this year. You know, it's like, what? Okay. I don't know. I think I'll just walk. But anyway, laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Yeah. So anyway, it may even help us live longer, they're saying. Which, that makes sense if all those things are true. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly notable for those battling cancer. Man, laughter again, a good medicine. Now, Spurgeon, he was a character. I always thought Spurgeon would be kind of like really stiff, right? You know, just kind of, you know, take your Bibles and turn to, right? You know, you kind of, but that wasn't how he was, I guess. It says he was a character. His style was so loose, he was criticized again and again for bordering on frivolity, they said, in the tabernacle pulpit where he preached. Certain incensed fellow clergymen railed against his habit of introducing humor into his sermons. With a twinkle in his eye, he once said, "If only you knew how much I hold back, you'd commend me." This preacher thinks it's less a crime to cause a momentary laughter than a half hour of profound slumber. Isn't that good? Now listen, the joy of the Lord has to be real. It has to be genuine in our lives. It's got to be real. You know, we don't just walk around the house, you know. And the kids are like, what? He's so weird. What's his problem? Now, if you're doing that just to be crazy, that's fine. But I mean, if you're just trying to pretend, you know, you're coming home and you're just sitting in your car bawling, I just lost my job. And you get out of the car, you're, hi, kids. And they're all like, you were just crying a minute ago. What's going on, Dad? You know, I mean, that would be weird, right? I think it would be. You got to be real. You got to be genuine. You can only fake it so long with the family. And our children, they're too close to us not to notice that we're simply playing a game. They know these things. So here's the deal. You know what? We can't be guilty then. Listen to this one. We can't be guilty then of enforcing biblical standards without demonstrating the joy of the Lord. That's a problem. That's a real problem. See, our standards and way of life, it's very different than the world's. It's also much better. Whoa, wait. Let me read that again. I must have messed that up in the notes. Our standards and way of life is different than the world's. But it's also, that can't be right, right? Every teenager knows, every adult knows that we get the short end of the stick on fun. The world has the best thing. You know, they got the best thing going. They get to go out and party and get drunk and have all kind of relationships immorally. They get to do all the stuff that every Christian wants to do. You say, I hope not. I hope not too. But the fact is, every once in a while, I start to wonder. I look around me and I think, why is it we're struggling so hard just to try to live holy? Not be holy, but even try. What's going on with us? And we wonder why our children are growing up wanting the world when we're over here trying to pretend that church is so important and God's so valuable to us. And boy, the Word of God is so true in our lives, but yet we're so miserable serving God. We're miserable. Well, come on, kids, we got to go to church. This Easter thing, I mean, okay, it was 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't get home till 1:30, and here I am going back at 5. Don't they know it's Easter? Don't we know it's the Lord's day? So miserable, and our kids are like, yeah, I guess the preacher's an idiot having church at 5 o'clock. I heard Mom say it. And then we're all like, but we love Jesus. Let's make sure we're out soul winning. And we wonder why our kids turn out bad. There's no joy in our home. We're cynical. We're critical. We're negative. We allow the world to affect our attitude and our outlook, and we somehow think that our kids are supposed to think Christianity is so wonderful just because we say it is. Hey, listen, our standards are extremely different than the world's, but they are better. As true as that is, we stated something earlier that's so true. The spirit in your home is more important than the activity. Well, we're doing all the right things, preacher. Your spirit in the home is more important than your activity. But we make them do their devotions. Your spirit in the home is more important than your activity. Oh, we make them, we have family devotions even when we don't want to. Well, good for you, but your spirit in the home is more important than your activity. How many Christian homes have all the right standards in place but feel like, but it feels like a mausoleum or a graveyard in the home? See, laughter breeds life into a home. It breeds life into a home. Man, the joy of the Lord is our strength. There ought to be some. We ought to be able to laugh about things. We ought to be able to laugh at ourselves and laugh even at each other. We ought to be able to just enjoy life a little bit. I know there's a burden, and I know it's not easy, and I know gas prices are going up, and I know it's harder to buy groceries, and I realize that all our utilities are skyrocketing. I get all of it, but hold on. We're Christians. We're on our way to heaven. Jesus is coming back. Laughter connects people in the home. There's nothing, man, you get to laughing together and having a good time together. It just binds you. Laughter promotes hope in a home. I don't care how bad it is, but when children can see mom and dad lighthearted enough to put a smile on their face, to seem to have some joy in their life, to even be laughing at some things that are complicated, kids go, you know what, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Mom and dad are all right. It's going to be okay. Laughter makes life bearable. Laughter says, I love the Christian life. Laughter says there's no better life than the Christian life. Laughter says the waiting is worth it, teenager. Man, we're still having a good time. We're Christians. Yeah, you got to wait on some things. The devil gives you a license. He says, you go out and do whatever you want, whatever, whenever you want, right now. God says, no, you don't get to do whatever you want, whenever you want. You got to wait a while. But when you wait, trust me, it'll be worth it. And we say, it's worth the wait. Look, we can still have a good time. We still have joy in our life. The Christian life's worth living. And the waiting's worth it. See, every parent's goal should be to raise godly children. Not just good kids, but godly kids. That should be our goal. I just don't want them going to jail before they're 18 so I don't have to deal with it. I just want them getting through high school. I just don't want them having any kind of bad relationships till I just can't deal with it. I don't want to have to deal with any rebellion in my home. I just want to get through these years right now. And then, you know, they're going to make their own decisions and do whatever they want. You know what? If you pull Christians across the country, parents that are Christians, I'm not talking about just our stripe. I'm talking about the claim Christianity. You'd be sad to see how many of them can't wait, just hoping their kids can get through those years. Send them off to colleges and know they're going to live a life that's unlike the life that they were living in the home, and yet they'll still foot the bill for them. Because, see, the goal's not godly children. The goal's good kids. Too often. Can you imagine sending your kid off to school, you're footing the bill and you know they're partying? The money would stop immediately. But most of them don't. Oh, they claim to be Christian, but see, their goal's not godly, their goal's only good. I'm getting a little more than you bargained for, I know. But anyway, again, if our homes are filled with a critical and cynical spirit, if we cannot allow an undertow of hostility and anger in the home if we're going to raise our children to be loving and lighthearted. Constant bickering, complaining, and friction will only undermine everything that we're praying for in our children's lives. I mean, we want godly kids, don't we? Of course we do. And if you don't, there's a problem with you as a parent. We want godly kids. And we're not going to raise godly children in an environment where there's that bickering, complaining, and friction all the time. It's undermining everything we're striving for. They're called upon, these kids of ours, they're called upon to be different than the other children in the world. They're going to be expected to abide by a different set of rules and standards than others. They're going to be told to be patient and wait for the very things most children will enjoy early on in life. The only way that we can convince our children that it's worth it all is by them seeing the benefit of it in our lives. And that equates to a joy in our lives. If we're miserable all the time, they're going to not want anything to do with what we claim they need. It's not working for you, Mom. It's not working for you, Dad. Why do I want it? I don't want to be miserable my whole life. Is that what Christianity's all about? Misery? Well, it's not, and it doesn't have to be that way. But laughter's a big part of it all. Seeing the smiles and hearing the laughter reinforce reality, the reality of our faith. Listen, they don't want a description of our faith, but rather a visible display of it. Have fun with your kids. Have a good time with them. I realize how difficult your day may have been, but they don't need to know. They don't need to know how bad it is. And honestly, we should get to the point where bad days aren't always so bad. Because we know the sun's coming up tomorrow. Amen. Hey, be goofy. Let your hair down. Enjoy life around them. Some say, well, that's just not me. Let me ask you a couple questions. One, does anything make you laugh? You say, you are right now. Then bring your kids to church. Expose them to the laughter. But the truth is, there's something that makes you laugh. You say, well, there's a show I watch, it cracks me up. Well, then sit your kids down with you and watch it together and laugh together then. Start there with laughing together. I'm not much about all that. Well, start with something you are much about. You say, I could never let them watch that. Problem already then. Problem already. Well, let's go ahead. I don't know. Your kid's what, 14? Let's book an appointment for, let's see, 3 years from now in my office, because that's when you'll be coming to me telling me that you're losing your mind because your kid's out in the world and you're trying to rescue them. That's what'll happen, that's the kind of lifestyle you live, the kind you can't share with your kids. But yet you call yourself a Christian and you're faithful. That's called, as the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, provoking them to wrath. They're going to be bitter and angry toward you and God. I got to end. We would do well to laugh a little, even if it's at our own expense. It's been said, happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He will never cease to be amused. And that is the truth, isn't it? Boy, do you laugh with your... Are you lighthearted at home? It's not just men we're talking to. We're talking to ladies. We're talking to men. We're talking to moms and dads. I mean, I know the burdens are great today and the world's in an uproar and the pressures of life weigh us down, but hold on, they can't weigh us down. We can't let that happen. We've got God to lift us up. They need to see the joy of the Lord in our life. See, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. It's love, joy. How important is joy? It's right after love. Number two on the list. Laughter's going to pay big dividends in your life, your marriage, and your family. Listen, not everybody is wired that way. I get it. But you know, I hear about people sometimes, even in our church, I've heard about them, and I was like, no. You know, you're kidding me. He is not like that. No. My dad is out of his mind when he's not here. I'm like, what? And I'm like, yes. Praise the Lord that he can have fun and let his hair down with his kids if he has it. A happy home is filled with joy. And I think often that equates to laughter. May God help us, really. Let's think about it. Let's be real. Let's be genuine. Let's let that joy be real. Let's not fake the joy. Let's honestly experience that peace that cometh, that passeth all understanding. Let's cast our care upon Him. Let's allow Him to bear the burdens and let us raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. With laughter and joy. Father, we come to you. We thank you so much for the privilege we have, Lord, just to take a few minutes out of the Word of God and try to be very practical about some biblical truth. And Lord, I understand, Lord, that there are circumstances in our lives, Lord, that aren't happy times. They're very, very difficult. But Lord, help us, Lord, not to live there. Help us to climb out of that and live our lives primarily on topside. Not always in the valley constantly. Oh, we may be in the midst of circumstantial valleys, but Lord, may we not, our spirit not be bound by them. But may we soar like eagles. May you give us victory in our lives and help us to express to both our families and others the joy of the Lord and that it is our strength. We love you now. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, every head.